All right, chapter 18, book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel means God is strong. First of all, I want to say God is strong to deliver his righteous. Second of all, I want to say God is strong to show vengeance to the wicked. So there's how God is strong. You notice that Ezekiel focuses on those two items, touches on others, but focuses on those two. He is not teaching mercy and grace, though God is merciful and gracious to his children. To his children. So we'll be delivered because we've already received mercy and grace. Why does he develop his message to the fact that mercy and grace, because they're not over yet. They last until the tribulation. So, but beware of following the wrong calendar, because it could be sooner than you think. God's calendar is only 360 days, 30 days each month, 3 times 12, 360. That's his calendar. And I believe he will restore that calendar, but not right now. So as long as the Gentiles are holding sway, he won't do that. But when the day of the Lord comes, he may revert again to his original God's calendar. Anyway, so he teaches mercy and grace, and then vengeance is after the tribulation, 1260 days. And that is it's an interesting thing. There's a parallel between the church age, us now, and the end times. And so there may well be the same kind of numbering scheme that Daniel spoke about it when he spoke about 69 times Shabuot, which means seven. Shabuot is the Hebrew word for seven. So 70 times seven, 490 years. That's when the world is about to come to an end. But we haven't arrived there, because the 1,000 years isn't up. When that happens, you'll now understand why he had to wait. I don't want to explain this, but I'll just say it. For the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. So the day of the Lord is actually 1,000 years. So when he comes back, he will then deliver the righteous, and he will judge the wicked. He will show vengeance and wrath. We are not part of that, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that comes by faith. Until he comes, when he comes by faith, it will no longer be faith. Faith will be gone. Hope will be gone, because you'll see him as he is. When you see him as he is, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today, nobody has seen him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You remember when Jesus was on the earth, they wanted to make him king, but he refused it, because the people weren't righteous. We are not righteous even to this day. So we have to wait until not only have we been forgiven all of our sins, he did that when he died on the cross. Now he's actually cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and then he'll perfect us in love. Great. So that our love will be perfected. All of these are in the Bible. Hallelujah. And those three actions of God means that we'll be perfect when we see him, because we'll see him as he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The forgiving you your sins was necessary so that you'd be righteous. Forgiving, cleansing, and then perfecting. And that is perfection on the chairs. Those chairs are perfect. I've included the repentance, because repentance is the other side of faith. You repent of your understanding of God, not the sins. You repent of not the sins. you repent of your understanding of God, that he has come to earth to save us, not to make us stop sinning and start doing the right thing. You cannot stop sinning and do the right thing. Why? I don't know how to explain this, but a unilateral turns into a bilateral. That is, God can not only do his part of the covenant to Abraham, but he can also do your part. In other words, Jesus does it all. And that's why you can't be righteous before God except derivatively. So he does his part, keeps his promise, and you do your part, have faith in it. But now when he comes back, all of those who had faith that you'll be part of the righteous, Jew, Gentile, Jew, Gentile. You'll no longer be Gentile, they will no longer be Jew, but we'll be one, we'll be one. Abraham will be there, Isaac, and so on and so forth, and we'll sit at table with them and drink the new wine of the kingdom. Remember, he said to his disciples, I won't drink this cup again. I won't drink this cup again till I drink it anew with you in heaven. So, up in the air, the second heaven or whatever you want to call it, something in between. So we will be there. There'll be a throne set up because he's been inaugurated, and he has not the heavenly throne, God's heaven, but just the natural heavens where the devil used to be. Kick the devil out. The devil is on the earth right now, and you can see he's doing his job well to stir up all kinds of things, and that's how God sorts out his believers, because I ain't changing. I believe in God, and to the death, I'll believe in that to my death, physical, but I probably won't die physically, but if I could, if I would, it's okay, because he'll just raise me up. So I'm not really worried about that. You may be, I'm not. I have faith that what God said to me originally when I received him into my heart, this is to the death. Physical death, psychological death, any kind of death. I don't really care. Because I have laid my life down. So when I became a Christian, it was supernatural, meaning I didn't do it by reading the Bible to become a Christian. I didn't do it by even seeking for God. I wasn't even seeking for God. It just happened. Though I was a pastor, I was not seeking for God. I was a pastor. I was already here. But what happened is God spoke to me. Now, I wasn't here. Let's see, where was I at that time? Anyway, whenever that happened years ago, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's that just a suburb of it or something. It's near it. And when I received the Lord, I was actually breaking the laws. And God actually spoke to me, and I knew that there was a God. And immediately, so everything has been happening to me supernatural. Why? Because I already knew I was a rotten, no good person, and there's no way I'd make it to heaven. So I didn't even attempt. I didn't even start the race. It's like I'm not wanting to get to heaven or avoid hell. I just want to live the life to the fullest here, get all the pleasure I can get, and then die, and that's it. I never had thought about where I'm going. I was young, vigorous. I mean, I was out to get everything I could because I knew my time was short, so I'm going to get it all. I don't mean short date-wise. I mean short in the sense that if there was a God, I would be messed up. I used a different word, but I would be in trouble. I knew that. Oh, I hope he doesn't come. But I didn't even believe in him, so I didn't hope it that way. I just simply, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a hypocrite like other Christians are. But if I ever become a Christian, I'm going to go all the way. I mean, I'm not thinking about it. I'm just saying, if I ever did, I wouldn't be a hypocrite like these other people. Whatever it says, you'd have to do it. So absolute surrender, I read that book, just the title convicted me. Like, uh-oh, if that's Christianity, I have messed up big time, because I not only sin daily and hourly and nanosecondly, I'm just a sinner, and I love it. I not only don't hate it, want to get rid of it, I love sinning. Now, not everybody does. Peggy doesn't. She doesn't like sinning. It's very hard to get her to go ahead and sin, because she's sinning all the time. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point is, and she's working it through by reading the Bible every day, because faith cometh by
hearing.
So you speak it out, and she is. For the last 2 months, she's just really been soaking in the Scripture. And then she wants to tell me what she's feeling or what she's, thinking or what she wants and so on. So I don't want to hear that. Just read the Scripture. It doesn't come by brains. It doesn't come by, thinking right and so on. You can't do anything. If you do it, it's a work. So if he does it, it's not a work. If your faith works, it's not a work, because that's Jesus in you working. So you don't actually have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control. You don't have those nine gifts of the Spirit. But that's Jesus, all of those. Because it's not our kind of love. It's not our kind of peace. It's not our kind of joy. It's not anything. Those things he's talking about are heavenly gifts. I've blessed you with all the heavenly gifts in heaven. I've given you all of those. But they're a gift. So a unilateral can become a bilateral. You can do this now. You have something you own. You have something that you created. You have something that you're the boss over. And you can give it to your grandkids, or you can give it to your children, or you can give it to a stranger. You can give anything, but you had no strings attached. That means it's one-sided, unilateral. But there's bilateral agreements between nations and, businessmen. They have bilateral. If you do this, then I'll do that. If, then. That's another kind of thing built on, I expect you to do it, and I'm going to give you this, and you're going to pay me tomorrow. So there's a promise. Promises always take time. You give a promissory note to someone. It could be 10 years. It could be 1,000 years. In God's case, it can be 3,000 or 4,000 years. Because God makes promises, and then he says he's going to fulfill them, but he fulfills them in his own way, and I don't have any control over him. Well, what about the one? I can't. He just acts when he acts, and I don't have any power. How many have learned that you are not God? Amen. You can be like God, but you're not God. So you'll never be God, but you will be like him.
Amen.
So that's kedemutnu means in our image. That's Betzalemnu. And this kedemutnu, according to the capacity that God gives you from him living in you. So he didn't say that when he said that. He didn't say you'd have to be in Christ. He never said that. Let us make man in our own image. This was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking together in the heaven of heavens. That is the heaven, capital H, over the natural heavens and the earth, stratosphere, atmosphere, all those spheres. So those heavens are ours. It's one of your inheritances. You'll inherit all the heavens, and you are the new heaven and the new earth, as Adam referenced. In fact, you are everything. In the world to come, you'll be everything. So can God do his part on the covenant, keep his promises, and can he also do your part, give you a gift of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
One, repentance. Two, faith. Those are both gifts. They're not works. You didn't do those. They were gifts got given out of his grace, out of his goodness, out of his kindness, out of his mercy. They're just grace. And you didn't do them. Anything that God does, you didn't do. Anything you do is sin. So if he does his part, makes the promise, and then he keeps that, and then I read that and believe that, that believing was not a work. It was a deed wrought in God. That you can read that after, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, blah, 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 blah. You can read that in the next couple of verses where he actually then says, you either did it in the flesh, in which case it's sinful, or God did it in you and through you and for you. Wow, that's better. So you don't do any work. And I've said this a lot of times, but you have to take it in. The only actor in the universe is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're the only ones that do anything. So you only imagine to yourself, I did a good work. You didn't. If you did it, it's evil. Because you did it in the flesh. And flesh can't behave itself. Flesh will never go to heaven. The flesh of your heart, the flesh of your soul, the flesh of your body, none of that will go to heaven. So flesh has to die. You're either, and this is James, in John, the third chapter, it says, you're either born of the Spirit or you're born of the flesh. Now, in our case, all of us were born in the flesh. But now you can also be Spirit born if the Holy Spirit doeth it, if he does it. And that's part of his promise. Whatever he promised Abraham, I'll show you the land, so I'll make your name great, I'll curse those who curse you, I'll bless those who bless you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, finally, and all the families of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham. There's no one on earth that has that. All the families of the earth will be blessed by Abraham. That means there's not one name you can come up with that won't have somebody in heaven. Think about that. It's in the scripture that out of every nation, tongue, and tribe, I mean, you have a language group, everything, everyone has somebody in their family that will receive Jesus Christ. So we have a lot of work to do right now. And so Joel's helping out because we have about over 10 million people in Uganda. So that's good. I'm saving that up. That's a good one.
Amen.
That's a good one. But what is it? It actually, I didn't do it. And I don't take credit for it. Because God did that. God did that. And it's amazing how God, he's taken the little we've given him and he's built something gorgeous. It's beautiful. And it's a model. Anyway. So God is good, and that's about one-fifth of the nation follows our teaching, I distinguish myself from other pastors because I don't trust most of them. I do trust a few, but I don't trust most of them. But over the years, he's always had a witness somewhere, so there's a lot of books that I have that are written by godly men. And I was reading one this morning. Wow, that's exactly right. I mean, I knew, wow, I'm going to read this whole book through and through because it's good, because it agrees with what I've done, and that if it agrees with what I've done, it must be right. I'm only kidding. I want to know the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so when I became a Christian, I knew the truth, and I immediately knew it. It's the second, because I didn't even ask for God. I wasn't even out in the hall, you know, walking back and forth to get a rhema or anything. I wasn't a Christian. But in that moment, I knew that I was a Christian. There was a God, and his son is Jesus, and I confessed my sins, and you know, it's just like powerful, and I knew this was the end of my life. But it's the beginning. If you lose your life, you find it. So I lost my life of pleasure and, you know, all things for myself and being great and awesome and so on and so forth. I lost that.
Yeah.
And I knew now, from now on, suffer. Because if you don't suffer, chair 5, if you don't suffer, you won't be glorified. I'm going to say that again because you might think it's extra credit. No, no, no. If you go from your sins being forgiven, oh, you didn't even stick up the... I didn't bring that one? Didn't I bring that one? Huh. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I left it out in the car. Anyway, praise God. I thought I bought repentance, because repentance is just the other side. Because repent in our term wrong, repent in our terms wrong, stop sinning and start doing good, then you'd be doing it.
Right.
So that can't be. I know it can't be. Did I? Yeah. But if God does it, it's perfect. I'm not. Even now, I have a new heart. I do. I have a new heart. The Holy Spirit's my new heart, and I know I'm born of the Spirit. And there's a sign right there. However, he's now saying, I'm faithful and just to forgive, chair 4. But I also want to cleanse, chair 5, you from all unrighteousness. All sounds like all. It does sound like all. So he doesn't want one sin to dominate my life. I may commit a sin, but it's forgivable. But the point is, don't let it dominate you. That's what he's talking about. So that he can perfect me in love, so that all that's left is love. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, if you have any sin in there, it's not going to work. Because you want a little pride, or you want a little reward, or you want something. Then you'd be under a law, and by law, nothing is made perfect. Book of Hebrews, chapter 7. You can read that very clearly. By the law, nothing is made perfect. This has to be a promise. This is not a law. It's a law for God. God obligates himself to keep all his promises. He made 7 promises to Abraham. Every time you see the word will, or even shall, that's a promise. And you can count them up. How many times does I will? That's a promise. I will. Not I will if you do. That's a different. That's mutual. But what if he does both sides for us? What if the unilateral actually becomes, is inside of, a bilateral where he does both sides? He does his side, and Jesus also does God's side and declares that to you. But then he also says, I'll do your side too. What if Jesus is the mediator between God and I? Nobody else can be the mediator. No emperor, nobody high and muckety-mucky ahead of me. So if that's the case. So this 18th chapter of Ezekiel reads like this. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb? What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? In other words, they're dull because you keep grinding. The father sins and the children have to pay for it. That was a proverb in ancient Israel. So I'm sure it was given to make you behave yourself as if you're a son. But if the father sinned, well, you have to pay for it. He was a drunk. Now you have to suffer for all that drunkenness and, you know, addictions and all those things. This one says, God, this is God speaking. The prophet is saying, thus saith the Lord. Yahweh, Adonai Yahweh. Adonai means Lord, God. Yahweh. So Adonai Yahweh. So he's now speaking to the people, and this is, I picked this out. We could read the whole book of Ezekiel, but it's long. And so I can't, because this year I'm not going to be preaching every Sunday, every time. You're going to be seeing some of the young men that we've raised up over the years, including David and then my son and then other people, Jeff Flood and who's the other one? And Danny Parrish. They're awesome. I mean, I listen to them. They're awesome. And they're just like my sons. I mean, it's like, wow, that's incredible. But they're much more mature than I am. They don't have to tell all their sins like I do, because that's my background. The only thing I have going for me was I never did anything good. Now, that's a bad testimony. However, I never did anything good. And though I look nice and I like a pastor and so on, it's not true. I always was devious. I was always cold. I never loved anybody. I never cared for anybody. I was just mean, nasty, selfish, and wanted everything for myself. And so Peggy would sometimes say, "Well, do you love me?" "No." Next question. It's like, I've never loved anybody. And, you know, so you do have to take me as I am. Just as I, one of my favorite hymns, just as I am without one plea, because I don't have anything going for me. And I you know, we've been together. We did not do anything bad. We've been together for 5 years, and now I'm asking you to marry me. So, like, not a really good offer. And so, it's like, but I'm tricky, and if I want it, I'm going to find a way to get it. That's the way I was. I'm not that way now. I'm a servant now, total servant. And anybody can abuse me. Anyone can misuse me. I don't care. I do not care. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I'm happy all the time. Enemies don't bother me at all. Just like Jesus. He never ran from his enemies. He walked right up to them. He went right into the heart of the enemy's camp. That's why he came to earth. This was the enemy's camp. Did you know everyone is born with enmity against God? Everybody. They have enmity against God. In other words, you live a hypocrite life that act this way on the first floor, but in the basement you're doing something else. Did you understand what I just said? So everybody is a hypocrite. Everybody. Because all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, the glory of God is that you'll be your servant, which I am now. But that's the glory, because God says, I have peace with this man has peace with me, and now he's loving his neighbor as himself, laying down his life, and I don't have any purpose to live today except to serve. I don't have any purpose. And so I can do anything I want to do, but it's always to serve God. That's it. I don't believe there's another God. I don't believe there's another agenda. I don't believe I have an agenda. I'm not trying to be rich or famous or great anymore. I've ditched all that. But I did want that. I was ambitious. When an ambitious, this is in this chapter, by the way, what I'm reading you, an ambitious person is not good. They're just ambitious for themselves. But when they repent of that, change their mind, thinking you can comfort yourself because God loves you and he's doing your part as well as his. Look at what it says. As I live, verse 3, saith the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. This is God. Behold, all souls are mine. Now, soul is chair 5. In other words, every self, the soul, is just a word for yourself. It's not your heart. It's not your bowels of mercy. It's not here. That you're brand new in. This one is still your old man, and it hasn't been cleansed from all unrighteousness. But he's going to cleanse you so that you're perfect in love. And he can't marry you unless you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. You can't have any stain. You can't have any perversion controlling you. Okay, that's all it meant. Because until he comes back, you'll have that. But when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father. So you have to have good works in the world. And see, the first one is God for you. The second one is God working in you. And the third one is God leading you. So you're born of the Spirit, chair 4. Then you're filled with the Spirit, meaning empty of yourself, so that he can lead you, because no longer do you love yourself. And I don't. I don't now care for my life. I mean, I don't care for it because God loves me. And I'm totally, totally at peace that God's love is all I need. And everything else works out. So I'm never anxious. I'm never worried. I'm never striving for something. I'm not. Why? Because God. I believe God's love. Did you know that perfect love casts out all fear? And Peggy said it this morning. I have the perfect husband. Why did she say that? It's not because it's true. It's because that's by faith what you're supposed to say. Amen. And so she said it. And she said it, you know, like she sounded like it. But I say that to her every day. You're the perfect wife. You're the best. I couldn't have a better. I am so blessed to marry up. I'm so blessed to have you as a wife. You know, it couldn't be better. And I don't want her to change. I don't want her to do anything. But I believe she is changing. I know she is. And so she said, well, how do you have faith that I'll get it? Finally, I'll be totally free from all self-incrimination and expiation for your sins and all that. Because she always wants to do good for everybody. She's all of her problems in life have always come from the fact that she's always, yeah, I'll do it. Okay, I'll take care of that. You know, so, and then later, she gripes and said, why are you griping? You said you'd do it. Well, I bit off more than I could chew. Well, that's your fault. That is your fault. So just stop being nice. Start asking God. I'm not saying you can't be nice. I'm just saying ask God. Seek God. Don't just do it because you feel like being nice. That's your emotions and will and so on and so forth doing for you. That's not God. God is God, and you'll be peaceful. Yeah. Well, I want to be peaceful like you. Well, that's how you do it. Is you just get faith in God, and that's it. Nothing more. Hallelujah. Nothing. Faith is all he's wanting. Why? Because it's a promise. If it weren't a promise, you'd have to work. But it's a promise. It is not like, you know, I am perfect, so you be perfect. Well, that's a little high for people, being perfect or holy or righteous or all those words that God uses. You can't make God your measure. He is the measure, but he's only the measure of his own obligation to give you that gift, bless you. And so that's why he says, I will, I will. Next verse. As I live, saith the Lord God, Yahweh, Adonai, Yahweh, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel, that if the father sins, the son has to pay for it. Behold, all souls are mine, verse 4, as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. They both belong to me. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Wow, we've all sinned. All of us here have sinned. I'm not interested in what they are. I'm just saying, everybody here has sinned. Yeah. In the past, one sin will keep you out of heaven. So everybody has sinned. So you have no way you're guilty. Everyone is guilty. Everyone has done something wrong. Because your conscience bears witness to that. Your conscience knows you did wrong right there. Or I did wrong right there. Your conscience knows. So you don't even need the law of Moses to convict you of that. Your conscience knows. That was wrong what you did. How many know you have something inside of you? It's called the voice of God, your conscience. And it means the voice within that is you. It's your soul voice. So he said, all souls are mine. Every soul, I wrote my law on their heart and I gave them the conscience. They would know, do good, eschew evil. But nobody's ever done that. But God said, Job did it. He was good. He was a good judge. He was a good father. He was good everything. And he overdid it. I mean, this guy was, you know, going overboard on it. And he eschews evil. He doesn't do any evil. And that's why when his kids were killed and everything fell apart and his health was gone and everything except the nagging wife, everything fell apart. And she said something like this, you know, curse God and die. Get this thing over and get out of the house. So he was out in the friends, his three friends, he was out there and they were telling him, well, you must have sinned. Because the Jewish idea was, if you sin, you go to hell or something bad. And if you don't sin, you know, everything will go well. So you were rich, and now everyone can spit on you because everyone realizes you must have done something wrong. What's that goiter? You know, how is this? And where's the boils? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he said, I don't know, because I don't know until God tells me. Well, we don't even need God. We can just see it. You have sinned bad. You were once rich. You were once famous. You were once good reputation. Now everyone spits on you. He said, yeah, it's true. But I didn't. If I did sin, I want to know about it because I don't think I did. My conscience bears me witness. I don't think I did. So how many know that the reason the law was given through Moses was not so you do it? You know, do you know that? It's so that Jesus would do it for you.
Amen.
It's so that Jesus would do it. Jesus is the end of the law. He's the one that actually worships God with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength, and loves his neighbor as yourself. He did that for you. He did that for everybody here. That is so good news, I can't believe it. But I do. Why do I? Because it's the only thing that will work. All the other gods are no gods at all because they give you laws that don't work and they're no good. But here it said, this is a new proverb now in Israel. If father or son sins, you face what now is called the law of sin and death. You die. But if a man be just, you know what that is saying? If a man be just, so who was just?
Jesus.
Who was just?
Jesus.
Yeah. So if a man be just, now it doesn't say Jesus, but it's saying Jesus. Okay, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and only Jesus is just. No one else on earth is just. So only Jesus. If a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, that was Jesus, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, and Jesus did not, neither hath he lifted up his eyes to idols in the house of Israel, neither has he defiled his neighbor's wife, which is the church, neither has he come near to a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by his violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, hath covered the naked with a garment. This is all describing Jesus. He that hath not given forth upon usury, interest, big interest on money, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in all my statutes, hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. So what happens when Jesus dies? What happens when he's on the cross? And you hear him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember they said that? Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Why did he say that?
Carrying the judgment of the world.
Right. What he was doing was, when you're about to die, you can just quote the first sentence and the whole rest of the chapter is what you're saying. So what he's saying, if you keep reading that particular line, my God, why have to, it turns into happy in the end. So what he's saying is, Jesus took your sins upon himself to die for you so you don't have to die. Now, no one has to die. It's not in, like the Presbyterians say, God chose you, you're in heaven, you're on earth, you're in heaven, you're on earth. It isn't like that. It's in Christ. It's not in cosmos that God decided, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, you're going to go to the heaven. He knows it. Foreknowledge. He has foreknowledge, but he didn't make anybody choose. Otherwise, you wouldn't be guilty. If he made you choose, then he had power over you, and he just made you do it. Then you wouldn't be guilty. The only reason you're guilty is because you chose wrong. Only your will chooses wrong. And that's the one thing, he gave you that freedom and you misused it. Everybody on earth misused it, except one man. If a man be just, and we just read all the things he didn't do, he's the perfect man. Not just like Job and Daniel and so on and so forth, but he's perfect. I mean, this guy is perfect. Why? Because he's God's son. And he always does what's pleasing to the Father. You can't say that. Nobody here can say, I always do what's pleasing to my Father in heaven. I always do. No, I can't say that. What I can say is by faith. I can say I do please my Father by faith, because he counts my faith as righteousness. Yes. He imputes to me. It's not gratia infusa, as the Catholics said. The Catholics said, if you take communion, the grace is given to you and it's now yours. The grace infused you. Luther corrected that and said, no, that's not true. It's imputed to you. In other words, you have to do it by faith. Though you don't see it, you say it. You don't see it, you say it. And when you say it by faith in the Word of God, only God can judge your heart, he knows, I count that as righteousness. That's why he's the father of faith. Now, let's read this. 10. If he beget a son, which is us, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath lifted up his eyes to idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, hath taken the increase, just the opposite of the Father, Jesus. Shall he then live? No, he shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, and he shall surely die. His blood be upon him. Now, what am I saying here? I haven't finished, because I'm going to read on, because this is a powerful chapter. He's saying the Jewish people have always been my people, plural. They've been the people of God. And he covenanted with them that I want you to be a model for the rest of the world to follow. Well, they not only were not a model, they did all the rotten things the world did. They had Baal worship. They had every abomination that you can imagine. And that's what all the prophets are always saying. The sin is upon Israel. And he has to come back and judge that. But he's postponed the judgment, even though under the law they're guilty, postponed that till the end, because they might change in the meanwhile and become Christians. So many in Israel today, more than you can imagine, way more than 100,000, way more. They call themselves Messianic Jews because they believe Jesus is the Messiah and he already came. They're so powerful in the Knesset. They're so powerful that if you want to be the prime minister and you don't have their vote, you lose. They're the swing voters. Just like in our elections. You have to have that rust belt, which, I don't know, Trump found that out. Let's deal with the real people, ordinary people, who need to be at work and be producing. Nobody calculated this. Nobody. They didn't think what he was doing was, he just had big rallies and so on and so forth. But the people loved it because he was speaking just plain. He didn't have any big fancy words, politically correct and so on. He just said what he wanted to say, tweeting so that everyone would be distracted, and then doing all the things he wanted to do. Because he's smart, and he just did things for that base. But he's planning now to run. He's already announced he's going to run a second term, because he believes not only is his program working, it's going to continue to work and flourish. And even now the business community is with him, and many people are totally with him. So it's only the Democrats, and I'm not picking on them, they're just people, but they don't see it, and they're all following whatever the line is and the bullet points and so on. He needs to be impeached, or he's no good, or whatever. But the truth is, they even know in their hearts he's doing right. Yes. They know it. Yes. And I tell you, even when it's all over, they will say in their hearts, he was right. Yep. I'm getting more in my pay, or you know, I have more workers, and so on and so forth. People love it. You can't argue with success. Yeah. It's very hard. And so, by all the regulations he'd moved, I mean, that's incredible. And death taxes over, and all kinds of things that you always wanted to go away, and they never would go away. But he just, well, that's not right, and he just does something about it. But he does it by, not by the Congress. He does it by his own little, you know, executive orders. But that's not right, because they can be changed by the next guy. So the Congress is more, you know, but he cannot bring them together. Even his own party, they kibosh things that he's saying. Well, I don't like that, and so on and so forth. So you can't get them. The conservatives and the more moderates, he can't get either group. So all he has is the Rust Belt. It's all he has. And so a lot of people are for him, but there's a whole bunch in his own party that hate him, despise him. Yeah. Never Trump, and so on and so forth. I can think of some former presidents that don't like him either. But anyway. So these people then that are doing this, they will surely die. Verse 14. Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins. So this is a different son. You see, he had one son. He was a good father, and he had two sons. Here's the other son. The first son did all the bad. That's just like Jesus telling the parable about a guy who had two sons. One said, I will go out into the harvest today. The other said he won't. But the one that said he won't then converted and did it. And then the one that said he will but didn't do it, he is going to suffer for that because of this verse. He had two sons. Let's read the other son that watched his father, you know, if he was a bad father, he watched this. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, even imagining it, and considereth and doth not such like. So the son isn't following in his father's steps. That hath not eaten of the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to idols of the house or Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, nor hath taken withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but he hath given his bread to the hungry. This is the son, not following the father, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath, this is all the things, the son doesn't have to do it. Hath executed my judgments, he's done all of that, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. So that proverb is out. For the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. So this son with a wicked father, he's now pointing out the absurdity of saying the father sins, so the son has to pay for it. No. That's why today everyone's an individual in America. Even though the other party that I'm talking about always collectivize everybody and get, you know, race things and all that. They're grouping everybody in groups and so on and so forth. So they like being part of the world. They like being part of, you know, sinful. They don't want to be any better than anybody, you know. So they give away all things. America just give away and so on and so forth. Well, Trump decided not to do it. I'm not using him. I'm just saying this is picked up on this, that Israel, which always believes in the group. I mean, anytime you talk to a Jewish, strong Jewish person, they'll say Israel, the group. So they still are under the old proverb. But here he's saying, don't use this proverb anymore. Individual responsibility is your, if you sin, you die. If you don't sin, you die. And if you were a sinner, but change, it's acceptable. Or you're a good person and you change, that's not acceptable. He is demolishing them. This is God speaking through the Holy Spirit through Ezekiel. God is strong. That's Ezekiel means God is strong. The L on the end is God is strong. He's strong to deliver the righteous, and he's strong to judge the wicked. That's what he's strong at. Now he's pointing out this is an individual responsibility that every man has his own soul, and you have to take care of that soul to make sure it dies here so that you can live for Christ. So here, you're born again. Here, you're dying to yourself. And here, you love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. How does the self love others? The same way you want everyone else to love you. Equal. So love your neighbor as yourself means, what do you wish others would do for you? Do that for them. Don't say, why aren't you doing that for me? No, no, don't say that. What he's saying is, if you wish others would do that for you, you do that for them. Don't worry about you. I'll take care of you. But I want you to absolutely love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, I want everything for myself. Well, then do that for your neighbor. That kind of slows you down. That, what he's saying is, I want you to be holy, but I'm going to do it through my son. So you're not actually holy when I say be holy. You're actually saying the good work he began in me, 4, he'll surely complete, 5, by killing you and then resurrecting you. So that in the new life, you don't do anything. Jesus does it all. It's perfect. I mean, this is perfect. If you get a hold of this, it'll bless you for the rest of your life and in the next world too.
Praise the Lord.
Forever and ever. If you get a hold of this, this is powerful. Because Judaism does not teach that. It teaches the group, the covenant, the people, my people, my people, my people. That's how they came out of Israel. It wasn't personal, you know. And so... but actually, it's always been, that's a bad proverb he's saying. This is a better one. If the son has done wickedly, but he repents at a certain point and believes the promises of God, that person is, he'll live. He won't die. But the other one is, even though you were good and then you started doing bad, you'll die. The other one is that you were good and now you're doing bad, you'll die. But this one is, if you were bad and repent, you will live. And that's amazing. That gives hope for everybody. It did for me. It did for me. Because the way I grew up, I was not thinking of anybody or anything. And I wouldn't even lie to myself that I really do love. I knew I didn't. I didn't love anybody and didn't care for anybody. And nobody cared for me and I didn't care. What is, is. So I grew up completely just fact. You know, I don't believe all the talk about, you know, we're all sincere and nice. I don't believe that. I never believed that. But the Bible agrees with me. I was surprised when I read the Bible, because I hadn't read the Bible. And when I read the Bible, it's like, I believe that. You are wicked. I believe that. And people are not what they say. I believe that. I believe it all. And so... It really is amazing, because I was not seeking God at all. I didn't want to have God. But all of a sudden, he spoke to me. Boom. I would not have picked me. I knew I was the worst person that if I get on your team, I will do everything I can to destroy it. Because I just have that gift. It's not a gift, but I mean, I'm able to do that. I was always the one, as a youth, when they'd have a pick a baseball team or whatever they were playing out in the backyard. I was always the one that, you know, pick me, pick me. And, they look a little worse. None of you. So I was always the last one. So I worked real hard, but it didn't do any good. So I realized, well, you're a loser. That's it. So I was, that's the way it is. That's the way the world is made. People are cruel. They're nasty. So that was good. How to be a loser and that be a winner? Jesus. I know the answer is Jesus. I know the only answer is Jesus. That just man. He's the one. And I want to be like him. How? I don't know. I don't know how that works. But however it works, I want it. I want to serve. I don't want anything for myself. I'm not trying to get anything. And you, if you saw something, you'd say, well, there you tried to get something. I didn't. I wanted to get it for my wife, for my kids, whatever. I'm not trying to get anything for myself or anybody else. I don't care. For Joel. I mean, Joel has to, he does not have to account to me. Whatever I give you, and if I give to you and then you turn crooked on me, just keep what I gave you and I'll go somewhere else. I'm not going to take it back. Once I give, that's it. That's it. And once I say I'm married, I'm married. And once I say I'm your friend, I'm your friend. People can, you know, turn on me and do all kinds of things. I don't care. I'm still going to stay your friend, even though, you know, the door is open. You can always come in the back door if you want to. And I'll leave it open. Because I never change. Once I like you, I like you forever. I separate deeds from persons.
Yes.
By God. And he said, your deed stinks. So under the law, I'm guilty. But I love you. I love that. So God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Well, that's me.
Thank you.
I mean, I can get in on that religion because I do sin and I'm still sinning, but I'm not doing it deliberately. It doesn't come from my heart. It absolutely does not come from my heart. It comes from my soul because it hasn't yet been cleansed by Jesus. And he said, I'm not going to clean you completely until I come back again. Then he'll come do it in one instant. I mean, in a blink of an eye. Boom. Right? Like that. My body is new. My soul is new. I'm able to fly to heaven on clouds and, you know, drink the new wine and be married to him and so on and so forth. And I'll love all the Christians and I'll love all the non-Christians. I'll love everybody. Just like God. Same. But I separate the deed. I'm not interested in the deed. I'm not going to judge anybody from a deed. So I'm not a judge because only God is a judge. And since he's the only one and he always does something in equity, equal to the way he made you in the first place. Where am I? As for, maybe 18. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, did that which is not good among the people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Now, is he going to pay for it for himself? Yet, saith ye, why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he surely shall live. How is that? They're wondering, how is that? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There it is. That sums up the whole chapter. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, what is sin today? What is sin? Doing wrong? No, that's not sin.
Not believing.
Sin is not believing. It's just simply, how did Adam and Eve sin? They not believed. That's how they did it. Eating the apple wasn't the sin. That was a symptom. That wasn't the sin. It isn't that they ate the apple. They ate the apple because they didn't believe. That was their sin. And that's only sin right now is not believing. He's only coming back for sinners who repent. He loves them. Sinner who repents, he loves that person. So everybody has to answer that. I am a sinner, or I was a sinner, or I used to be a sinner, but I'm not anymore because I've been born again. And now he's cleaning up my soul. And I don't see it yet, but I believe it. And I don't see that the end product, because he said, he who began a good work in you, he will surely complete it. He was talking about himself. So if he began the good work, he's going to complete it. You'll be a saint in a few minutes, a few hours, a few years, whatever. Who cares? But whatever it is, when you get to heaven, you'll be Revelation 3:10. Revelation 3:10, if this is the only group he's coming back for, if you've kept my word of patience, that's all you have to do. Be patient, Jim. Don't want it to be right now, today. You're not perfect right now. I am in my heart. Yeah, you are in your heart, but you're not in your soul yet. And you still, sometimes you get angry, and sometimes you get mad. Yeah, I know, but I said I was sorry. Yeah, I know, that's okay. I accept you that way. However, you're not perfect yet, so you have to be patient. If you keep my word of patience, if you do that, then God will make sure you do not go through the great tribulation that comes on the whole world. That is such a tribulation that no one has ever seen before. It's more vicious than anything you can imagine. Why? Because the Jews are going to be punished because they still stick with the law and they don't believe in Jesus. Why? Because he's God's son. Well, they don't know that. Well, I know, but God judges the heart, so he knows whether they do or don't. Some say they say, I don't, but maybe they do. But God will know that. God is perfect in knowledge. He knows all the secrets of the heart, all the secrets of the soul, which nobody sees but your deeds. How can you judge from a deed who a person really is? So I don't judge. I can't. Because I used to do what you did worse. And I'm not, so it's not an interest to me to do that. All I know is you need to hear the gospel. I want you to know the gospel. The soul that sinneth, verse 20, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. This is individual responsibility for your own soul. Individual responsibility for your own self. In other words, your destiny and your origin is up to you. Your existence is given. You did not make yourself. It's given. But your essence must be chosen. You have to decide where you came from, where you're going, and what your purpose is right now. I get to do that. Why? Because what he did. So I don't have any beginning and I have no ending. Did you know what eternal life is? It's that you don't have a beginning or an ending. Why? Because I'm a new creation. I could be Jewish and I can say the same thing. I can be a Gentile and say the same thing. Doesn't make any difference. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So, the old has passed away, the new has come. I can say it by faith for chair 5 and 6, but I don't say it by faith in my heart. Jesus is living in my heart. I'm a dwelling place of God. I'm the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth because of that dwelling place, and Jesus is in there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. All that fruit is coming out. I didn't do it. I know I didn't do it. I know that's all Jesus. And I rejoice when I see that. It's, wow, Jesus, you are so awesome. Yes. I wake up every day with joy in my heart. I wake up every day. And I make so much noise, Peggy. I'm sleeping still. I know, but I'm excited about Jesus. Well, tone it down or hum or something like that. Go in the other room. Okay. I do it. I do what she says. But I'm just saying, I'm excited. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday I had finished something I was doing. And I was just so excited. She said, I want to be like that. I'm depressed all the time. I want to be like that. So, why are you so happy? Because God showed me something. He said this, and you know, I'm just like blown away.
Amen.
Too powerful.
Glory to God.
Now the next verse.
Hallelujah.
Did I read that? The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Those are the two groups. Those are the only two groups. That's us, living by faith. We're righteous. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Wow, there it is, but it has to be by faith. You see that? Because you don't see that until he comes back again. See, now we believe by faith. When he comes back, you don't see him by faith. You actually see him. With your eyes. Remember Job said, The worms destroy this body, yet I believe my kinsman redeemer. He will redeem me, and on the earth I will see him with thy eye. He's not talking really about these eyes. He's talking about spiritual eyes. He's going to see him with his spiritual eyes. Because even though he's dead, he's alive. Lose your life, you find it. Because what is your life? Serving him. I never thought I'd enjoy that. I enjoy that. What joy, because I'm not thinking of people watching me. I'm thinking about God saying, that's acceptable. Wow, that's it. So if he likes me, I'm okay. I don't really have any care about anyone else liking me. Verse 22. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned to him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. So I remember Jesus saying, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus came that you have eternal life in you. Eternal life. That's true in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Even though they don't believe in eternity so much in the Old Testament, it's there. It's there indirectly. It's a type and a shadow. But in the New Testament, it's explicit. I came that you might have life. Eternal life. That's Zoe, not bios. Bios means biological life. You exist. This is not biological exist life, how long you live. This one is live forever. That's the word that's used here. Life is that life. It's that life eternally. That he's not talking about live a long time. He's not talking about length of time. He's talking about live forever. That's right here. This is what the word is, right here. The ruach of God, not just the nefesh that animals have also. That we have nefesh also, that's your soul. But now, this is ruach. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? That's a great question. God is asking this. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh. And not that he should return from his ways and live. I don't have pleasure that any sinner dies. I don't want any sinner to die. God does not want any sinner. Though they sin, I don't want them to die. I've done everything to make them believe. I asked the Jews to keep the law. They failed. That tells you something. Don't. Now I have another one. If you do good, you didn't do it. God did that for you, in you, through you. Is that hard to say? No, it humbles you. It humbles you to say, I didn't do anything good. You're in heaven never having done anything good. Why? Because only God is good. No one else is good but God, Jesus said. Well, if that's the case, then I can't do good. It's not only that I didn't, I can't. I'm imperfect. I'm fallible. But he's perfecting me. Now I can. But I'm not God. I'm just derivative. That's a derivative. It derives from. It's predicated upon. That derivative is who I am. Now I can do good, but I didn't do it. I know Jesus did that because we're in relationship. Yep. He with me and me with him. He loves me and I love him. And so it comes out, but I'm not even thinking where it came from. I just know it's the relationship that I have to. All my performance develops out of relationship with Jesus Christ, period. And the whole world has to learn that. And do you think that that won't be preached to the whole world? I guarantee you it will be preached to the whole world. I'm preaching it to you right now, but I believe this word has to go throughout the whole world. And before time ends, they will see it and they will say, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, every Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
That's powerful. That's powerful. When they see him come back with Abraham and Isaac and all the saints of the Old Testament and so on and so forth, they'll have name badges on or something, you know, whoa, and the host of heaven is with him, all the angels are with him, and then, you know, Christians are with him that have died ahead of time and so on and so forth. Wow. They go, uh-oh, I should have believed in Jesus. Man, I screwed up. I did bad. I messed up big time. Because I didn't believe in Jesus at all. Now, what would happen if one of those guys said, you know what? I do believe in Jesus now that I've seen it. Now, that doesn't count. Could that guy say, I know it doesn't count, Jesus, I read your Bible. But here's the thing. Could you just do it anyway? Please do it anyway. I believe you, Jesus would not say no. I'm just saying. I don't care. I don't care. If he says no, it's no. But I just know I'm going to be right there praying for the guys. I was an idiot. I was worse than that guy. Please, you know, if you could save me, you could save him. I don't believe, you don't even know the things that are not so obvious. But I believe your prayers are powerful. I pray for people all the time. People, it works. But I don't tell on them. Because I don't want people to come to the church just because you're breaking and so on and so forth, as though you did it. I don't want people to think that. No, it just happens all the time. Just every day, somebody will call and say, we had a church member in Fort Worth. I won't say anything about him. But he came yesterday and said, I think I'm working with an atheist, and I'm almost an atheist right now. I'm losing my faith. I said, come in. This would be a good thing to talk about. And so I was a little afraid to ask you, because my wife is saying, don't, you better get to Pastor Jim right now. That's what she said. We're not raising our kids with that nonsense that you've, just because you work with the guy. Because he said, well, the way I grew up, I just did what my mom said, and now I have to make my own decision, personal responsibility. I have to do this myself. I don't really know God. So it was easy for after a while. He says, yeah, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. And, you know, he went home happy. He said, wow, a big weight has been lifted from me. You've given me hope. Because one of the things this person doesn't do is, anyway, he could come to some meetings. And he said, well, I can't come that meeting. Oh, I said, well, what if I change the day? I could come. Oh, okay, we'll just change the day. I'll just ask all the people if they change the day. It's a big deal. Yeah. But yeah, of course. For you're worth it. Let's do it. Because you need to be hearing the gospel from other men of God, not the guy you're working with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the wife even said, maybe that guy's making you test your faith right now, but it's just a test. Maybe you haven't lost your faith. And so he said that as he left. Well, maybe I haven't lost my faith. But I need to have my own experience with God. I need to have my own testimony, not just doing what mom said.
Right.
Powerful.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. Yeah. I mean, that was a miracle because just his face was, you know, all scared, nervous or whatever. By the time he left, he was happy. Gee, I felt great. Wait, thank you for giving me hope. That maybe that's not, you know, she's right. And I said, of course she's right. You married up. Good Christian. But when the righteous, almost done, when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man doth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. I'm not going to mention his righteousness because now he's turning into iniquity. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. Wow. So you were righteous before, and now, like this guy was saying, I was righteous before, but I didn't even realize she didn't prepare me. She never said, you need your own experience, personal responsibility. She never said that. Now I realize that's what I need. So that's what we prayed for. And I prayed, God, speak to him. Through the scriptures, he needs his own experience with you. Not just the doctrine, but he needs the reality. How many know the Bible is written so that you actually meet the living God, not the written God? Not the written down words. These are God's words, written by the Holy Spirit. They're great. But they aren't yours until you believe in the living Word of God. Christ in you. Not Bible in you. You have to have the Bible in you, but the Bible in you is just to remind you of the words. But what you really need is Jesus in you. That's life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. That isn't equity. The way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? I question. Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Very clear. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions, and he hath committed, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. Very clear. Verse 29. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one, single individual, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent, turn yourselves, in other words, change, from all your transgressions, so that iniquity shall not be your ruin. Last couple verses. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. Wow. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Last verse. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith Yahweh Elohim. Wherefore turn ye yourselves and live.
Amen.
This is right before, this is right after before the 37th chapter, where the dry bones are in the valley. And he says to the bones, this is the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Israel, the true ones. Then say to the bones, come alive, and they shall come alive. That's what Jesus is going to do. That's what he's going to do. He will say that because the house of Israel today is dead. The house of Israel, remember, he cursed the fig tree and gave it to us, so people that don't, we don't have the same tongue. So he gave it to the Gentiles. So now we're the church. Yeah, but you know what? Jewish people are coming in. And someday they will join us because they will be sons of Levi. They'll be the priests that actually give perfect. It's written in the book of Malachi 3:3. Malachi 3:3. It's written there that in the end, when they go through the tribulation, Jewish people, all Jews will go through the tribulation. All. 2/3 of them will be destroyed into the lake of fire. They go. 1/3 will escape, sons of Levi. They'll all be Levitical. But these are the ones that survive, because only the Levites understand mercy and grace. They understand if you break the law, if you break the law, you're guilty. But they also understand, though you're guilty, he's postponed it to the last till Jesus comes and preaches his gospel. Now that they don't believe today, but they can. Why? Because the dry bones, all those bones, they're going to come alive. Abraham's bones will come alive. Isaac's bones will come alive. Sarah's bones will come alive. All the saints of the Old Testament that believed, they'll be with him. But also, these Jewish people, after the tribulation, when Jesus comes back, they will get their new land. Who will be there? Only those that are the 1/3 that made it out. I know you don't know where I'm talking about, but it's in the Bible. That 1/3 is a very small remnant. In other words, it's less than the half, less than. But it's a big number. And that number of Israelis are going to be equal to us. So This is powerful that we need to preach and have more and more, and the Israelis are doing it on their own. I mean, there are many Christians there, but there are many just Israelis doing it on their own. They're just finding God. Why? Because it didn't work. It never worked. They were not perfect. And a lot of them are starting to realize that. Wow. How come Christianity, Gentiles, you know, I thought they were trampling our courts. These Christians are blessing us. They love us. Instead of, you know, send them to hell or something. No. God cannot ever stop loving you. Once he loves you, I don't care how many sins you've sinned. You killed Jesus and broke all the commandments. So what? He loves you. Let Jesus do it. If I were Jewish, you know why they don't? You know why they don't listen to us? Because we're not pure. We don't want to go on to chair 5. So till we get to chair 6, if we were lovers in chair 6, they would believe. We're not. But what about chair 5? That's the problem. I don't want to suffer. I want to give in to my will. I want to give in to my mind. I want to give in to my emotions. I don't want them to die. Well, then you'll never grow. Your will is not God's will. Not my will, but thine be done, Jesus said. You have to be like that. Take every thought captive to the word of God. Your mind is not his mind. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. And emotions. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. But we're griping and complaining and moaning. No, we got it all wrong. That needs to die. Those are idols. That's the flesh. Your will just needs to be rid of the flesh. Then it's a true will. Your mind just needs to be renewed every day. Then it's a good mind. Your emotions need to be rejoicing in the Lord always. Then you're a Christian. There it is. Now, again, you can make mistakes, they'll all be forgiven. So that's not the issue. The issue is not your sin. It's what you do after the sin. Just turn to the Lord. After your sin, you might learn something like, hey, maybe I've lived a rotten life. That's me. I definitely did. Somebody say, are you rotten? Yeah. Do you care? No. And so on. I had no problem admitting it, but I wouldn't admit it just to admit it. It'd be like you'd have to, you really want to know? Because Becky wanted to know. Well, do you really love me? No. So then I answered. But then that was, you know, then she now realized, instead of crying, she now realizes what she said this morning. I have the perfect husband. And she's been saying that because she's soft. I can tell she's no longer, you know, protecting herself or trying to get something or whatever. She's now happy. Why? Because she said, I want what you have. I want that. How do you get that? Well, it's easy. You just read. I don't want to read. You know, just read. I've read all day and it's making me nervous. So keep reading. It's good news. You cannot find one thing in there that's not for you. Well, I'm not where you are. I was raised differently. I was raised to behave myself. Said, I could never go against my parents. I could never do this. And said, well, it isn't that you have to sin to do it. We're just talking about when you do something, give God the glory. You can love all you want. It's not wrong. It's just that you thought you did it. No, you were not good. You were not good. You didn't do it. Jesus did it. Yeah, I know. And so she's getting it in her head. Now she's going to get it in her heart. It's powerful. And she probably already has had it in her heart all along. And I don't know that because I'm not the judge of the heart. But she probably has been a Christian all along. But she doesn't want to hear that yet because she's trying to feed her emotions right now. Well, I never had any fun in life. You know. Well, that was your fault. You did that. You chose to actually listen to your will, listen to your mind, listen to your emotions. That stuff will not get you into heaven. That's just flesh, 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 flesh. Get rid of that. So now it's exciting. When you see her, she'll be radiant. She will be. Because she's, you know, she's been naughty, and now all of a sudden she'll be like, I'm really righteous now, by faith. She always adds that, by faith. So that's good. Just say that, because he counts that as righteous.
Yeah.
Well, am I a Christian? I don't know. I think you are, but I don't know. Okay, well, what if I get depressed again? You know, you didn't lose it.
Yeah.
It's not like you get out of grace and get into grace, because it's not infused. It's imputed. The difference between one and the other. The other is a law. The other is a promise. Go by promises. Everything God did was a promise. Everything he did. What he you ever read those seven promises, 22nd chapter of Genesis, if you ever read that, but go back 20 others, what that one says is God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. But go back 20 and chapter 12 of Genesis, first three verses, he gives the seven blessings. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Then he gives, you shall. You shall bless all the families of the earth. And isn't that amazing? That all the families of the earth owe him. I mean, all the families owe Moses, Abraham. This all came from you. That's amazing. He's the father of faith. So that's hard to believe, that every name on earth will have somebody as a believer. It's hard. But it says. All right. Blessing, blessing, blessing. The offering.
Glory, glory, glory.
I hope you're blessed.
Amen.